Welcome to Pal Kauai Radio. Pal Kauai is made possible by KKCR sustaining members in partnership with Rising Sun Solar, A. Feinberg Galleries, and Healthy Hut.
Rising Sun Solar, promoting sustainability, environmental stewardship, and energy independence in Hawaii Nei since 1986. Design, installation, and maintenance for high-performance sun power panels and solar energy systems. Rising Sun Solar, a certified Tesla home battery company. 808-652-7357 or risingsunsolar.com.
A. Feinberg Galleries, showcasing the world-class, award-winning fine art photography of Aaron Feinberg. Now open daily in the Hanalei Dolphin Center, the Princeville Resort, and the shops at Kukui'ula Po'ipu. A. Feinberg Galleries proudly support Kauai Community Radio by underwriting this program, 634-5804, or expandingvisualreality.com.
Healthy Hut Market and Cafe, now right off the highway in the old school building in Kilauea. Organic and natural groceries, produce, raw foods, beer and wine, an expansive organic salad bar, fresh hot meals, smoothies, juices and coffees, and locally made products. Healthy Hut, a family-owned business, supports KKCR.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. You are on Pal Kauai Radio. I'm Larry Kraft, and I'm here with...
Jim Edmonds.
Jim Edmonds. There you are, Jim. Welcome to our social distancing show. Jim is joining us by phone, and I am here in the studio. I'm surrounded by masks and lots of disinfectants, so we're good to go. Jim, tell us what the show is about today.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're killing me, Jim. You're killing me.
Wait a minute. We're going to have a show? You should have told me this, Larry.
I just thought I'd surprise you.
So Larry and I like to play. I'm going to introduce it a little bit more slowly than normal. I'm getting an echo. Are you hearing that, Larry?
Nope. I think we're okay without... We don't have an echo here on the...
Okay. Yeah. I'll be okay with it. So basically, about 4 years ago, a dear lady came and worked with me in real estate in Emerald Isle Properties in Kilauea. And she was part Hawaiian, and we started analyzing what we wanted to do with Emerald Isle Properties. And we decided that we wanted to focus on trying to help the local people to find housing. And so we started that process, and my standard joke is it took us about 15 minutes to realize that with the property values rising the way they are, there's nothing we could do for the local people unless we build housing. So we started off tilting at that windmill. Now it's been literally almost 4 years. Took us about a year to start getting our footing, and one of the first things we learned was that the general plan was being updated. So we started going to all of those meetings and meeting with the planning director and the mayor and the various people to try to see how we could have input into that. And after a while, we found this other gentleman who was also attending those meetings and saying some of the very things that we were saying, which was in an effort to figure out how to simplify the permitting process for affordable housing so that we could lower the cost of building here. And that gentleman was Greg Crow, who has been with us from pretty much day one. When we found each other, we realized that we were saying the same thing, so we started working together. We immediately went to the mayor and asked that we declare an emergency, and the county attorney told us that that wasn't by definition an emergency, and we kept saying, well, why not? If a storm blew through and blew away 5,000 houses, which is the number of houses that the county tells us we need, wouldn't that be an emergency? Wouldn't we all freak out and start trying to fix those houses right away? But so we kind of hooked up with Mel, who was at that time, Mel Raposo was the chairman of the council, and he asked the county attorney to help us figure out what we could do, and they uncovered some laws that made it a little bit easier for us. Pretty soon we realized that we were in over our heads and we wanted to expand and try to be more successful at what we were doing. And we met another crazy gentleman named Larry Graff, who is running the board right now, is running this show. And he, his specialty has been affordable housing and nonprofits and government work in that field for over 30 years now. So we got together and we all sacrificed and pitched in together to try to make this thing work. And now we have a nonprofit. It's a 501c3. It is actually named Neighborhood Housing Community Development Corporation. But as you can see, that's a mouthful. So we decided this past summer our board met, and we decided to do a DBA that was a little simpler, and we came up with PAL. This name came from Greg Crow, and it's a genius thing because what it's done is it's changed the concept of what we're trying to do. It changed it from permanently affordable housing to permanently affordable living so that we can figure out a way not only to provide housing for our local people, but also figure out a way to make them more affordable and help them understand what it takes to keep things more affordable through a process of education so that they can actually afford to hold on to those houses and they don't need to have three jobs. So this whole show today, it's unusual. Usually we have guests and we talk about various issues and what it means to those guests. This show today is specifically about PAL, Permanently Affordable Living, our 501c3, what we are doing to try to solve this crisis, how we are doing it, and where we're going next. So we really appreciate everyone joining us, and we hope that you will call in and with your questions and suggestions. And if you're motivated by what we have to say, hopefully you'll join us and help us, because there is an infinite amount of work, and we're going to talk a lot about today about what that work is and why and how. So, Larry?
So, everybody, yes, this is a call-in show, so we invite you to call in. Our call-in number is 826-7771, and we'll be talking about a lot of different subjects, so feel free to add your comments, call us with your questions. We're always open to what everyone has to say in the community, and just like the community we are, you know, there's a lot of difference of opinions, and we just invite you to express and share that. Once again, it's 826-7771. So Jim, we talked a little bit about you and me and PAL, but we're in uncharted waters with the economy right now. We're certainly in a time of great concern, and everybody knows we're talking about the COVID-19, what's going on? How is PAL tackling COVID, and how are we helping? And what's going to happen with COVID in the housing crisis? And how's all this impacting our island, Jim? What's your take on that?
That was about 2 hours that I should be able to cover all that.
Well, so just summarize.
So essentially, we've closed the office. Both Emerald Isle Properties and PAL. We haven't been to the office but a matter of a few minutes a couple of times in the last month, which is challenging to say the least, because luckily, Larry and I figured out about a year and a half ago that we needed to improve our technological base. So we did begin to focus on Microsoft and set up shared files and learn how to use telecommunications and that sort of thing. And Greg was always there to give us a gentle shove to try to improve that situation. So we've made a lot of progress. We do know to a large degree now how to still be productive from home. We just had a meeting just a little while ago. There were six or seven people on that call from all over the island.
Well, that's right.
Who carry different levels of knowledge and understanding and expertise in how to get this crisis solved, and we're all working together. So COVID has really essentially not affected our productivity, maybe 5% or something like that. We are still moving forward and helping. Now, when you throw in that what's going to happen with the real estate situation, I've been a broker for 32 years on this island, and whenever I get asked this question, I always say, well, I've got a crystal ball right here on my desk, and since it's Emerald Isle Properties, it happens to be green. But I can't see a thing in it. It's like, you know, you can have a crystal ball and nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody can tell you that. However, I'm getting a lot of feedback as to what might happen here in the next couple months, next year. Those of you who think that we're going to go back to ancient history and ride horse and buggy and bicycles and, you know, technology is going to fall apart, I'm, you know, I understand the vision. I can remember when I felt that way, but at 75 years old, I've given up on those kind of romantic visions and dreams. From what I can tell, nobody knows what's going to happen with Kauai. It's possible that we'll have people are saying we're going into a depression, not a recession. And if we go into a depression, that really is on uncharted waters. But I've been on Kauai through three of these ups and down markets, and what I've learned is that, sure, the marketplace will slide, but it doesn't fall. Most places rise up dramatically and then fall dramatically. Kauai tends to just slide out and slide down a ways. Part of that is because we have so many wealthy people here, they don't sell their properties no matter what. They wait until the market turns. But a lot of people are saying, don't count on the market here falling at all. We'll see what happens, but partially because Mayor Kawakami is going viral with his little videos, and Kauai is so famous now, and also because so many people are realizing how well we've handled the virus. A lot of people are saying that this is going to be the place to come. And so kind of batten down the hatches. I'll have to say that I'm very impressed with Mayor Kawakami, the way he's handled this. I have disagreed with a few things that he's done, but I'm certainly glad I'm not in his seat to try to solve these issues and answer all the questions. But in the future, it is, to my mind, it is crucial, it is urgent that we figure out how to control those who are coming to this island. And if we don't have reliable instant testing when they get here, then I think we need to set it up like we do when somebody brings their dog here. They have to go to their doctor on the mainland. Even that gets tricky because then what happens on the airplane? So we really have to keep control of this virus in the future if we are going to move forward as the separate kingdom, as this wonderful little community that we all know and love and try to protect. So, you know, we'll see, but it's very likely, very possible in my mind that the real estate values on this island will continue to go up. Now, that has really dire consequences for the local people on this island. As the values go up, you know, a lot of people think that people who have property, the landlords, are just mean and they charge too much rent because they're just mean. Well, let me encourage you to call a lending officer and go in and try to apply for a loan and say, okay, I'm going to buy the cheapest house in Kilauea. Well, I haven't looked at that in the last week, but last time I looked, it was $680,000. You go and you put down, 20% of that. What is that, about $140,000 offhand? And so you end up with a payment that's $3,500 a month plus taxes plus insurance. And then you figure out what you can afford to rent it for to your neighbors or your friends. These mortgages are driving us all into a corner. And that's what's happening to the local population of the island. And that's the very reason that this PAL Kauai Permanently Affordable Living, this nonprofit, this 501c3 that has built a team of, I don't know, Larry, what do you think, 25, 30 people are trying to help us now.
That's right.
The very reason we're doing it, because we realize that we're being driven into a corner. A lot of people call it, I call it basically resortification. I think we are moving into another age, and this island has become a resort, and it's driving up prices beyond something that most of us can stand. So, you know, that's just my little take on the coronavirus and what it is. It's just my opinion. I'm just one guy. I just happen to have had a lot of life experience in these fields and a lot of opportunity to think about it and ride out the cycles. So I don't know if you want to throw anything on top of that, Larry.
I do. I would like to let you know that we have a caller. So we're going to go ahead and put the caller on. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a specific question about the affordable apartments that are they're not, I don't think, completed yet, but on Kolola Road, close to Poipu, on the left-hand side there, there's a huge development or many, many, many homes inside each building and stuff, and I was wondering how much those things are going for, or what's affordable then down there. Do you have any idea?
Well, I can let you know that from my knowledge, and Jim can always add to it, that's a rental project.
Yeah.
It's what we call a tax credit project funded by low-income housing tax credits. And that in order to qualify for that federal program, a minimum of 40% of the units have to be what we call 60% area median income. Affordability is generally tied to a statistic called area median income. And on Kauai, it's rather high because we have a lot of people with a lot of high income here. But if you go on to the county website, and you look at fair market rents or the area median income tables, they should be available under the housing department or the housing authority section of the government webpage. You can see what the rents are at 60% AMI. I don't know what the total unit mix will be. Many times there'll be a number of units at 30% AMI, 60% AMI, and sometimes more. But generally, that's how those projects run, and for specifics on the project, I'm sure you could contact the county. They'll be able to tell you. Jim, do you want to add anything?
Just to say, county housing. Call county housing.
County housing.
Ask them about it.
Yep.
And, Larry, my volume is extremely low. It came up a little bit toward the end of that. I don't know if you can... you have any control over that, but that would help me a lot if you can. I couldn't hear her at all, and I heard most of what you said.
I've got control.
Did you explain the AMI, what that actually means and how that's calculated?
Yeah, area median income, and I explained why it was so high. So I put my phone up for you, Jim, and I hope you can hear me. I hope you can hear our caller, too. Certainly I have some technical expertise here, and if there's a problem, I know they'll be able to help me. Does that answer your question or at least get you on the right track, caller?
I was kind of looking for some numbers, and I guess I can go on the Internet and try to find out myself.
Yeah, I don't have those offhand.
I was trying to figure out is that, gosh, there's so many of these units and stuff, and they're all kind of jam-packed into this place. I don't know if you've checked it out or not, but anyway, if those are affordable, that's going to take a huge chunk off of the 5,000 required affordable places for people to live, if, in fact, they are.
Well, it's an affordable, I believe it's a workforce housing project, and if for those of you who are listening, including the caller I'm talking to right now, if you're interested in getting on the waiting list, you can call County Housing because
I see.
I believe they've already started their waiting list. It looks to me like they were advertising the complex on Craigslist. So
right. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Feel free to call back as well.
Thank you.
So, Larry?
Yes, Jim.
I am in left field. I cannot hear the caller, and I can barely hear you. So we're going to be limping through this show, much like we did last time, unfortunately.
I'll do the best I can, Jim. We're trying to work. We're working behind the scenes to resolve that problem, and if I need to, I will repeat the caller's question. So we'll just...
Well, if you could also speak up when you talk, that helps a lot. I can just hear you when you geared up just then.
Okay. That sounds great. I'll be a little closer to the mic and make sure I don't redline the board. So we were talking about COVID-19, the economy, uncharted waters. And, you know, one of the things that's going on, I read our mayor, our great mayor, is becoming a kind of a national star, isn't he, Jim? Is that that's very likely to bring more people here. They're going to figure out some things about our beauty, the fact that we've had some excellent crisis management here on the island. Hats off to the mayor and his team. But that only creates more demand, is what I think. Would you agree with that?
That's pretty much what I said, a little while ago. And basically, it's tricky. Nobody can predict it. But this island is already world famous. And, I'm sure you all know it, but most people don't think about it from this perspective. We are living in a world where basically everybody can go everywhere, anytime, almost. Of course, there are some people who can't afford it, but we know for a fact that some people save up for years and come here for a 10-day vacation and spend, more money than they would normally spend, at home or during that time. But basically, yes, the fact that we are becoming even more known for handling this virus very well and for the antics of our mayor, who's becoming quite the comedian, I have no doubt that that will increase the demand and raise the prices. There's no doubt about it. That means, and when the prices go up for properties to be bought, that means that the rents go up. And the more people, one of the things that I will tell you now, and Larry, you could probably evaluate or elaborate on this a little bit better, is, since the mayor has shut down vacation rental, a lot of the people who were scabbing their properties for vacation rental or cheating or even some of the legal vacation rentals have now been reaching out for long-term rentals. And, of course, they're dreaming, they're testing the waters to see if they can get a lot of money from their rentals. But if those of you who do need a place to live or thinking about switching, keep watching now, because we expect the rents to go down at least for a while. So take advantage of that opportunity when it occurs, for as long as you can. Larry?
We're definitely I'm keeping an eye on that. Jim, we spoke a little bit earlier, and I told you that I was looking at Craigslist daily, checking out the rental market, and we're seeing some units come on that may have been previously vacation uses. Some of them are advertising, a couple of months maybe. Some are looking for a six-month lease. But I'm not seeing a dramatic price drop. And I'm hopeful that there'll be a price drop because, like you said, how many of us are working two or three jobs just to pay rent and keep ahead? Something's got to give, but so far, not the prices, but we are seeing more units come on. And my source is Craigslist. I'm on there almost every day just seeing what's going on, trying to get a feel for the market. Because we want to change things, and we want to create opportunities for people. Permanently Affordable Living Kauai wants to change things and create opportunities. And I guess this is a good lead into our mission because a mission guides an agency. It's really what we're about. And our mission is to provide homes and sustainable living solutions within reach, restoring hope for the people of Kauai. It's really about hope. You want to add something to that, Jim?
It's hard to add anything to that. That is what it is.
Sometimes it feels like there is no hope, and we, especially when you're looking for housing. And we have and I'm really looking forward to a lot of callers calling in, and we do have a caller. So, caller, you're with us in the living room of our social distance show. Distancing show.
As you are here with me in mine.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Thank you for joining us.
I have a personal question about our situation and my family. My husband just recently, like today, started collecting his retirement SSI benefits.
Yay.
And we have a controlled rent situation where we're at that's affordable, but he also has a piece of property in a neighborhood that he's bought that there's nothing on. It's in Kekaha. And I'm trying to understand and figure out how we could find out how to a way it means to build a place to live on that lot. And it just seems so far out of reach.
I'm going to let Jim respond to that.
I was able to hear it barely, and I do have the question.
Okay.
As a broker in real estate, I will tell you very clearly that I wish you had contacted a broker or me or a lender several years ago when your husband was still working so that he had his income, because in order to build, you will need to qualify for a loan. And that loan, unless you have cash, and that loan will be based on what your income is. What they do is they look at your income for the last 2 years, and you have to prove you have that income, and then they qualify you, and they say you can borrow this amount of money if you want a 15-year loan, or this amount of money if you want a 30-year loan. Construction loans, the interest is usually a little bit higher than just purchasing a property. So you go in and you borrow the money and you build a house, and they issue you funds at various levels of construction. So you get an architect, you pay that person to design your house for you. You get an appraiser to pull an appraisal on what that house would be valued at once it were built. That appraiser gives you the appraisal. You take it to the lender. The lender says, well, we can loan you. We have the appraisal, and we would loan you 80% of that, but your income is not enough. We can only loan you 60% of that. So then you go, well, okay, we can't afford to build it with that amount, so we have to build a smaller house or whatever. But once you've gone into retirement and your income is reduced, unless you have other sources of funds or unless you can find someone who's willing to partner with you on the property or support you in some way, it is very difficult to fund enough to be able to build. The only suggestion I might have, and it's probably not a good one, and by the way, I'm Jim Edmonds. I'm the principal broker of Emerald Isle Properties. I'm listed online. You're welcome to call me anytime, and I'll talk this out with you, you know, more directly and more personally if you want to, with no pressure, just to see if we can figure out a way to help you. But unless you have other sources of income, or unless your retirement looks really strong, or if you have funds that you're willing to put into the project so that you don't have to borrow so much, then sometimes I suggest that people, if you have preferably a family member that you trust, who you could form a partnership with them, and they would put money into the project, and they would own the project, and they would agree not to charge you interest, but they would get their money out, whatever put in, they would get their percent, the same percentage out when you sell the property or whatever. Like I say, I could help you figure out how to negotiate that with someone, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to hear you when you respond, but I wish you well and wish you luck on that. And again, if you do want to call me, I'd be happy to try to help you figure it out.
So that's Emerald Isle Properties in Kilauea, and you can reach Jim through that line. Jim, you want to share that phone number?
Well, I just my cell phone, which is 808-443-8868. Or you can call my wife. She's licensed for, we have a combined about almost 55 years in this business now on Kauai, and she is 808-443-8839. And we don't pressure anybody. We just try to help as much as we can, and that's why we're doing PAL. We founded PAL, and this is our life work for the latter part of our lives, to try to help solve this crisis. And it is a major crisis. We're going to talk about that for the rest of the show, so I won't get into it right now. Just see if there's anything else this lady needs, to see if she needs any other information.
That sounds great.
I will definitely contact you directly and can talk about it more, but I had one more kind of concern or interest or question about this situation, is where does the possibility of Habitat for Humanity fit into maybe our grand scheme of things?
Jim, the caller was asking how Habitat for Humanity fits into Oh, thank you very much.
I was
much.
Able to hear her.
Great.
Okay,
well,
I'll go ahead and hang up now and just listen on the radio, okay?
Thank you, caller.
Yeah, that's not really a question for us. It's a question for Habitat. And if you call Habitat there in Ellie, they are saints walking among us. We are in contact with them regularly and hoping to partner with them on projects. And they'll be happy to answer any of your questions. I don't know. They might be able to figure out a way to help you with that, but Milani Pimental is the current executive director, and she's amazing. If you can reach her or anyone who works for her, they'll tell you how to find out a good answer to that question. That's a very good question and a very good way to put it, and those folks are just working miracles on this island.
I will say that... Permanently Affordable Living Kauai, PAL, along with Habitat and Kauai Housing Development Corporation are forming a cooperative of working together called Kauai Affordable Housing
Alliance.
Thank you so much, Jim. I came up with a name and then I had a senior moment, everybody. I think we all have. That comes from staying at homes all day. So we're all working together, all the affordable housing providers. We're bringing more in. We're going to be working together. We're going to be working with the county. And, because we're here today, of course, to talk about PAL and what is PAL and what are we doing. But we're all trying to work together is my point and answer to that question. I want to just share, if it's okay with you, Jim, and what our vision is. We want to change the paradigm of affordable housing to permanently affordable living. One of the things that we've seen is the period of affordability for housing. If it's not permanent, when it runs out, people could lose their housing. When the period of affordability is very low, like 10 years as an example, it causes a real hard burden on the families that live there to think their housing would be gone or their rents will go up, they can't afford it, and then they have to go out into the market. What does that do? That floods the market. So our vision, which is kind of different than other people, is to do permanently affordable housing, make it permanent. And it's not just housing. Because the cost of housing is so high on Kauai, we're all working so hard, we're working 2-3 jobs to make it, we want to lower that cost of housing. Your energy bills, your cost of transportation, all these other things, we want to make it environmentally sustainable. So how we impact the environment, permanently affordable living Kauai is looking at all those things to be, we're going to be different. We're just, everybody's doing good work in the affordable housing arena, but this is how we set ourselves apart. We are permanently affordable and sustainable solutions, and we really want to restore the hope of the people that, you know, one day you can have that one job. Maybe you can afford a home, you know, you can take care of your family, you can do what you need to do. I remember... When my kids were young, I didn't get to see them as much as I wanted to, and they'll attest, I was working a lot. I was working all the time. So, family is really important, and especially here on Kauai, we know family is very important to us all. We're Ohana. Want to add something to that, Jim?
Not much to add to that.
Thank you.
I think probably what I'd like to do is I'm going to go into a little bit of a monologue here. I put together a list of sort of what is the situation of Kauai, where are we, and Larry, unless you have something else you want to do, I'm just going to go into this for a little bit, and I won't be stopping to take any calls because I can barely hear what's going on the radio anyway. So, but basically, we call this the soul of Garden Island. Our local families are being driven from their ancestral home. So We went last year to, as soon as Mayor Kawakami got into office, he held in March, I think, of last year, a housing summit. And most of the high muckety mucks in the housing industry and in the affordable housing industry were there. It was a three-day summit, and we learned an awful lot about what's going on here. And the main thing that I took away from it was that Kanani Fu, who was the director of housing, county housing at that time, said the population of this island is going down. That actually took my breath away. I've been a broker for over 30 years. I talk to a lot of brokers, and I know that there are, up until the virus, there were a lot of people coming here to stay. I've often said that 50% of the people who visit here as a visitor decide they'd like to live here, and 50% of those think about it and decide not to, and 50% of those think about it and decide to try it, and 50% of those actually come over here and start looking for property, and 50% of those make offers and decide not to buy them, and maybe 50% of those actually end up buying property, and that gets down to a very small percent. You're down to, I did the calculation at one point, I think it's like a half a percent of the people who come here, but that's thousands and thousands of people on an island where right now there are no houses for sale, maybe in Kekaha and Waimea a little bit, but if you look up behind Kapaa, you look up on the North Shore, it is ridiculous. You go to a town like Kilauea where the houses are very small on very small lots, and there'll be two of them for sale under $1 million. That means that the cheapest one, $600,000, $700,000, that does not compute. It doesn't work. So what's happening is the local families are being driven off the island. Kauai actually has the highest cost of living in America. That's a calculation based on, you know, it takes into consideration income, how much your housing costs, how much your transportation costs, how much your food costs. In actual fact, we know that transportation is often the second highest, if not the highest, cost for a family, depending on how far they live from work and whether or not they buy a jacked-up pickup or what how they handle with their transportation. So anybody who wants, they can contact me, and I can give you the supporting documentation for these facts. I'm just going to read them off. But the Kauai Housing Department and the Kauai Business Association, Small Business Association, have let us know that there is, and before the coronavirus, there was an acute shortage of labor. That means that pretty much anybody could get a job, and most of them were starting to switch the jobs that they wanted to have. It's a shortage of teachers, professionals, and farm workers. Why? Because they can't afford to live here. The cost of living is so high. There is very little produce grown on the island. 80% at least of our food is imported. That's based on University of Hawaii Department of Ag studies. And the insurmountable cost of land and housing is making it even harder to grow food. We have the worst comfort index. The teachers' associations do studies of what it costs to live here. And in the nation, this island has the lowest comfort index for teachers among the entire nation. It is averaging about now, about 50% of the homes that are sold to people who are recent arrivals. That's based on the Kauai Board of Realtors' multiple listing studies. We were told by a man who's very savvy in this field that 85% of the building permits that are being pulled on this island to build homes are being pulled by new visitors, not by local people. That means that the local people are pulling 15% of the housing permits, which means that you're spending a fortune. Larry, am I off?
You're on the air.
I thought you just texted me. That's funny.
Oh, you're
okay,
on the air.
So basically the last of those statistics is we talk to the executives of this county all the time, and the gentleman, Kaina Hall, who is one of my favorite people, who is the planning director, when he was the assistant planning director, he told us that basically affordable housing developers come here quite often to try to do affordable housing, and they look at the situation and they leave. And part of that is, as he said, they can't afford to drop a mill or two in a year or three to find out if they can do a project. They have, it's very expensive to try to figure out, do engineering and architectural studies and all of that to do a subdivision. And based on the fact that the planning approval process here is discretionary, which I often call arbitrary and capricious, that means that everything is at the choice of the planning director or the land use commission, or the actually the planning commission. And basically, that's what the affordable housing developers quote as the reason that they are leaving the island. They just can't afford to take that gamble. But if they could put out a million and know they could do a project, they would stay and do it. But why would they do that when they can go somewhere else where they know what they're going to be able to do and do it quickly? So the businesses and the farmers are struggling to try to hire help. At least they were before the virus. We will probably go back to that quickly, because the rental, current rental markets for bedrooms are like $1,300 and $1,500 for a bedroom. So essentially we have the worst homeless crisis in America. That was quoted by KGNB News last year. If you live anywhere else and you can't find a place to live, you just move down the road. You get something cheaper. On Kauai, you are gone. You are driven off the island. And probably your multi-generational family, who've been here forever, is either torn to pieces or they go with you and leave their home. So there's a back-of-the-envelope calculation that I've done that indicates to me that there will be very, very few local people on this island in 20 years. A local friend of mine recently said, we are headed toward Fantasy Island. And basically what that means is only the people who inherit their property and have a good enough job to pay the high taxes that will accrue to these properties as we move forward, basically the local people will be gone. We are told that there are 30 billionaires, that's with a B, billionaires, who live on the North Shore of Kauai. Those people do not come by themselves. They bring an entire entourage. I always joke that it's doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, but they bring their accountants and their massage therapists and their children's teachers and babysitters and chefs and architects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of those people have more money than any of those of us who've been here during our lifetimes. So this is not to make you depressed. This is to make you aware of the situation and to let you understand why we are working so hard to try to solve this problem. And that if you're willing to step forward and contact us, Larry Graff or myself, we'll give our telephone numbers. We can certainly find a way for you to help. We've already built a really powerful team. We're really proud of our team. We just look forward to more and more people stepping forward to try to solve this crisis. And it is a crisis, Larry.
Well, it certainly is a crisis, Jim. And Pal and everybody's doing what they can. I would like to say that when we talk about the county, I think they've made great strides to move affordable housing forward. And they're doing an incredible job helping affordable housing developers. But, you know, it's still a tough road to hoe. It's a lot of money and due diligence and just finding out what you can build and how you can build it and the kind of things you need to invest in, architectural, engineering, site surveys. It takes a lot of money to build these projects, and I don't think people understand that you're adding a lot of money into projects before you even know. But the county has done amazing work. They've shortened the time from interest to approval. They've done a lot of good work. We applaud the county, and we're looking forward to working with them in the future on PAL projects. And if you're interested in calling after hearing how the soul of our Garden Island has been affected, please feel free to call at 826-7771. And, Jim, we have a caller. So, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
It's actually Kaylani calling.
Hi, Kaylani. How are you doing? We're so glad. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do for PAL?
Well, so first I want to say that for Jim, when I hear you on the radio, your volume is just fine. It's coming across great on the radio. I work for PAL as of about a month and some change ago, and I've mostly been helping out with the social media. What really drew me to you guys was I really like the differentiation of permanently affordable living versus housing because it's not short-term. Since I was born and raised on Oahu, I had always kind of expected not to be able to afford housing, you know, until I was 40 plus years old. Like, I was like, oh, it's absolutely not going to happen with the way the market is. So I really was excited to find you guys and find people who got it. you know, from how I understood it from a young age. So it's nice to find people who are, you know, fighting to give the community hope.
Thank you so much. And you're doing a lot with social media. What kind of platforms are we on?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked because I really want to promote that for us. So right now we're on Instagram as at Pal Kauai, P-A-L-K-A-U-A-I. We have our Twitter set up as the exact same thing. And with Facebook, you can look up PAL Kauai or you can look up Permanently Affordable Living Kauai. And those are, in addition to our website, which is www.palkauai.org, those are our main social media platforms.
That's great.
And,
Kaylani, if you have a question from the show, and you could probably leave it on the website or contact us on Facebook, can't you?
Yes, we can. We can absolutely get back to you on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter.
Wow, we're all over the place. Thank you so much.
Or you can email us, info@palkauai.org.
That sounds great. Kaylani, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for calling in. And feel free to call back if you have a question on any of our subjects. We appreciate your work and your contributions to the community of Kauai. You're doing a great job.
Thank you,
Kaylani. I just wanted to make it clear. A lot of times when you hear people say something over and over, and we say it all the time, we say Pal Kauai, and people go, oh, what is that? Just think of it as the first letters of the name of our company, Permanently Affordable Living. We're not claiming to be anybody's pal, and we checked with the police commission to make the Police Athletic League to make sure that they didn't mind if we use that. We are Permanently Affordable Living. We'd like to be everybody's pal, but right now we're just trying to build housing and try to figure out how to do it less expensively by partnering with other affordable housing developers and doing all sorts of work to try to not only help people understand what it takes to live affordably, but also to provide affordable housing. So PAL, Permanently Affordable Living.
All right. Jim, you're my pal, and I really appreciate us doing the show together, and I love working with you. And, you know, we're running a business on Kauai, and like a lot of businesses are impacted by affordable housing. Just trying to find employees that might be a part of the problem, and I just wanted to talk a little bit. We all want to talk a little bit about how businesses are impacted. You know, I think a lot of us are no business owners. We either have friends or members of our family or the shops we go into. And if you spend a little time talking to them, you'll find out that it's really hard for them to hire people. And why? Because, you know, even if they pay them $15 an hour, that's still not enough to live on Kauai. You've got to be making $30 an hour just to be able to, the high cost of living, rent, food, transportation, energy. So small businesses certainly can't afford to pay $30 an hour. So what are they going to do, Jim?
I That's a tough question.
I like putting Jim on the spot, everybody. Just, for those of you listening who know us, we get a little pleasure out of that.
Well, we're working to try to come up with more and more solutions. As Larry said earlier, we are working together with Habitat and Kauai Housing Development Corporation to form KAHA, Kauai Affordable Housing Alliance, and to try to solve these issues. The county is telling us that we need, I think the numbers from 2 years ago were we needed 1,500 homes at that time just for the local people, and it's supposed to increase 1,500 a year, so now we're at 3,000, and they said within 5 years we would need at least 5,000 homes. That is like less than 3 years from now. We are not on track. Neither is the county nor any of us are on track to do that. Habitat is finishing out their LELE project, and to add on to what we said earlier about how hard it is to build here and how long it takes, it took Habitat. If you wanted somebody to develop housing on the island, who would you want to develop housing on the island? Because they're selling right now four-bedroom homes in LELE for $232,000. Of course, they have thousands of people on their list, but they would be the people you would want to build homes more than anyone. And it took them 7 years to get their approvals. If you can imagine what that costs just in paying the rent on wherever your office is, for 7 years, and then payroll and engineers and architects, and, you know, it's just crazy. they're building out the last of that project. They've got it's like 30, 40 more homes to build and sell in there. And they've already started another project in Waimea. They are entering in the construction phase now. They're doing what you call the horizontal development of the infrastructure so that they can later build the vertical development of the houses. I think those are going to be a total of 65 units, counting some from Habitat and some from AHE Group or another affordable housing developer. So there will be both houses for sale and rentals in that project. And then we're moving forward into needing more projects on the island. And we keep talking about what kind of help we need. You can step forward and help us either with your expertise and time and just donating your time to help us with various projects that need to be done. You can donate money, obviously. Every nonprofit always needs more money. That's just a basic fact of life. But the best thing that you could possibly do is if you have land that you would like to develop affordably, not only can you get tax breaks, but we can help you with that, and you can do it in such a way that you can either donate it or you can break even so that you pay for the land, the value of the land, and if necessary, we can usually set it up so you can even make money, because when housing is developed, there's a lot of money that moves around to a lot of different people. Basically, we're building our team in an effort to find people who will work for less than they would normally work for. I'm not talking about you. I'm asking for volunteers, but I'm talking about our team, like our engineers and architects. Most of them either donate a lot of their time or work for less than we would normally have to pay an architect. And that's the way we save on the cost of construction. So, you know, it's an urgent situation. The businesses are struggling. They can't, as you know, a lot of the businesses have had to close down a day or two here. You talk to the business owners, almost all of them, some of their employees live in cars, and they know that. It's really a terrible situation. So, you know, step forward to help if you can, and just help your friends. Let's try to keep the aloha spirit going because, you know, it's a tough situation, and it's going to get worse. You know, everybody's saying, oh, well, I've got a little reprieve now. Well, your landlord cannot kick you out now by law because of this coronavirus. What's going to happen in 2 months when all of the landlords go, I haven't been getting any rent, and now you don't have any money. I have to get rent so I can pay my mortgage, or I'm going to lose my house. So there's going to be a shakedown in the near future. Just begin to prepare yourself and figure out how you're going to deal with it. it's not easy, and, you know, begin to think about where you can, how you can steal your situation. If you don't have, if you've been laid off and you can find something else to do and work, find some money. Keep working on the unemployment. The state is doing everything it can to improve that situation. They're putting on more people every day to try to serve. This is record. I think they're projecting at least 30, if not 35% unemployment on this, in this state. What does that mean? One-third of the people who were working before don't have a job?
That's so...
It's a radical situation. So
terrible,
just
Jim.
Do your best to figure out how you're going to deal with it. What, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's, you know, I have friends who own businesses here, and they've had to shut their businesses down. And could you imagine if you're living in your car, working as in a restaurant, the restaurant gets shut down, now you're on unemployment. I mean, it's got to be really tough out there. But fortunately, there's a lot of help. There's a lot of information that the county is putting out. We have links to resources on our website, pal-kauai.org. And so if you have any, if you're looking for resources, you can go to the county website. You can go to our website. There's a lot of places that are promoting resources, and businesses are doing their share too. Business owners are wonderful. They really care for their employees, especially small business. I've got to applaud small businesses on this island. If you're a small business and you're out there and you're listening to us and you're shut down right now, we just want to say, you know, hang in there and thank you. Thank you for supporting the people who work for you, and thank you for being a part of our community. We'll get through this together. The government is doing the best they can to help. And in terms of housing, you know, businesses providing housing for their employees, that's an interesting idea, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah, we're working on it. We're working with business owners. We're working with the county to give inspiration and rewards to business owners who will build housing on their business location, or particularly when they're building new locations, and offer them to their employees at rates that their employees can afford. We're analyzing ways that other counties have given, their county has given a great inspiration for the businesses to do that, to actually help their employees. It's a tough one. You mentioned earlier, Larry, and it's true, the planning department and the county, or the county council and the mayor, they're really pushing hard to try to fix this situation. They've got a lot of things going on. We're happy to say that some of them are based on suggestions that we've made during the last couple of years. We're not getting a whole lot of credit for it, but that's okay. We don't want credit. We just want to see some results. So we're grateful that the council is working really hard to try to loosen up the restrictions that have been on the permitting process, to try to make things easier, try to inspire people to develop things like the additional rental units that can take a lot of the pressure off of the rentals. They recently increased the density on various lots. You understand that what's been going on is everything's gotten tighter and tighter and tighter over the years, and now the county is working hard to try to loosen up what the permitting process and the density, so that we can actually have more housing less expensively.
Jim, it's really interesting. I have to say, you know, when I asked Jim if we had enough material to carry a two-hour show, we have about a 7, 8, 9-page script with things that we want to go over. And I think we're still on the first page, but right now, we're literally on the first page. There's so much to talk about, but right now we're going to take what we call a station break for a few minutes, and we're just going to give you some information if you... bear with us, Jim. We're just going to do some announcements, if you don't mind.
Well, of course.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahoa, K205 FM Honolulu.
Pat? PAL Kauai is made possible by KKCR's sustaining members in partnership with Coco Care, Kalaheo Chiropractic, and Healing Horses Kauai.
Coco Care proudly supports community radio on Kauai by underwriting this KKCR program. Coco Care, providing insured, spurless coconut tree trimming and hazard removal for your home or business. Coco Care, keeping coco trees healthy and safe in Hawaii Nei for 20 years. 808-635-6854.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. 332-5580 or kalaheochiropractic.com.
Healing Horses Kauai, empowering individuals of all abilities to address their unique physical, emotional, cognitive, and social needs with educational and therapeutic riding and horsemanship lessons, day camps, and outreach programs. Healing Horses, introducing beginning riders to the magic of horses with love, empathy, and respect. HealingHorsesKauai.org, 634-3986.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
We are back. Are you with me, Jim?
No.
Oh, I knew you weren't. I could just tell by your voice. Well, Jim, I think we're ready for the second half of our show. Let's talk a little bit about, tell me what PAL's up to these days. What have you been working on, Jim? I know you've been doing something. I haven't seen you in a while, but we're working on it.
Well, as usual, I'm deeply involved in Tiddlywinks.
I knew it.
So basically, PAL Kauai, our nonprofit, has its first. We've helped people with other projects. We've gotten a lot of things done. We've hopefully affected the laws. We've helped a lot of the other affordable developers to get moving faster. We've been very, very busy, but right now we actually have a project. We're not going to get into specifics, but we have a project in Kapaa that we have in escrow. We are beginning to design the units. We would love to start building within 3 or 4 hours, but it'll probably be at least close to a year by the time we start construction, maybe complete construction within a year and a half. We hope to build 17 units that will be permanently and truly affordable units that will be on the bus line across the street from a supermarket and within walking distance of probably many thousand jobs. So it's a phenomenal opportunity. The land is a little too expensive for us. We're struggling with that, but we're working with Habitat and other affordable housing developers to figure out how to bring it in at a rate that will make it affordable for the people, the working people in Kapaa. That's what it's all about. We're going to talk next about our initiatives, and one of those is Walk to Work and Walk to Services. We're going to talk more about that next, but we're excited to say that we have a project. We'll also ask those who have skills, not in construction yet, we're not at that stage, but if you have skills in doing development, land planning, engineering, architecture, if you wanted to step forward and offer your services, we'd be more than happy to see if we can figure out a way for you to help us. But that is our next project, and again, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and where the money is going to come from. It's a long, long project, a lot of work.
That's a lot to do, Jim, and I know that we always reach out to our viewing audience, our listening audience, and the people of Kauai. If you have a particular skill set, it has to do with the development of property, you want to share it with us, we're certainly open to that. I guess this was, ladies and gentlemen, the listening audience, that was what we call a tease. You'll be hearing more about this project coming up as we make all those determinations. Because, Jim, it's That's a lot of work. It's not easy to build an affordable housing project. Like we were saying, there's a lot that goes into it, isn't it? We just can't. We would like to build it tomorrow.
We're learning every single day what it takes. And that's why I say to you, the people who have been doing the affordable housing on this island, including the county, they've worked really hard at it. A lot of the people at the county, Habitat, those folks, Stephen Spears, who just retired as their executive director after, I think, 13 years, and Milani Pimentel, who stepped into that space, they are saints. And Kauai Housing Development Corporation, which is Milo Spent, who ran for council last time, has now taken over as executive director over there. He is extremely intelligent and has a lot of experience in this field. He was our guest on our first show. He will get that thing rolling. Together, the three of us have now formed KAHA, Kauai Affordable Housing Alliance. We have big plans for that alliance, and Stephen Spears has now started his originations consulting, and he's become a member of KAHA. If you know of any other affordable housing developers who would like to step in or people who are involved in that industry who would like to become a part of KAHA, just have them contact us. So, I think, Larry, do you want to talk about the PAL principles a little bit? I think that's where we're going, and then after that we'll get into our five major initiatives that we're working on.
Well, I don't have our principles of development in front of us, but to the greatest extent possible, our goal is to develop truly and permanently affordable and sustainable housing. To that end, that ties into our initiatives. So when we develop, we want to be able to protect the land, to do what's best. We have one of our initiatives involves building with aerobic treatment units or alternative treatment units, ATUs, to the greatest extent possible. What these are, they use, it's not a septic system, looks a little bit like it, but you don't need as long a leach lines. But what's really powerful here is the effluent coming out of an ATU is five times cleaner than that coming out of a septic system. And it can be used in low-lying areas that are, typically where you cannot build a normal septic system. Some of the other things that we're looking at in ideas of lowering the cost of transportation, we've been looking to shared vehicles, electric bicycles, even a possibility for getting shared electric cars on site that people can use. And we may not be able to eliminate a first car, but we could certainly try to help households use a shared vehicle in a complex or a project to not have that second car cost. Every time that you...
Larry, I think the numbers I read on that were the average car, you pay payments on it, you pay insurance, you pay taxes, you pay for all your fuel and your maintenance, and it ends up being one of your highest expenses. It's one of the things... Particularly these kids who go out and buy a $50,000 pickup and spend $20,000 tricking it out, basically what they've done is they've taken away the money that they could have spent to try to get into a piece of property. But, that takes time to educate them. But from what I understand, the average car that a person owns is sitting in the garage, not being driven for 95% of the time. So what the estimate is, if we can do shared cars, shared bicycles and things like that on the island, the average shared car takes 11 to 12 cars off the road. Now, it stays on the road a lot, but it saves the individual user from the expense of having to have the car, except for the few moments that most of them actually need it. Go ahead, Larry.
No, that's absolutely right. So our principles of development are trying to develop these concepts to, once again, we always like to say it's housing and so much more, because it's not enough to build a house. You have to be able to live in it, and you have to be able to live in it affordably and responsibly to the environment. And that's really the basis of all our principles. And our principles are reflected in our various initiatives. And you can always go on to site at our website at pal-kauai.org. And we're gonna do our best to summarize those initiatives here. And we'd like to start with, when we talk about energy reduction, we definitely talk about solar power. And solar power is a way to reduce your energy bill, and PAL does sponsor a program. Jim, do you want to talk a little bit about Solarize Kauai?
Yeah, well, we're very proud that we've been able to partner with Sunrun, who is, they advertise on KKCR, and they are one of the biggest in the state as far as solar installations. And why is Solarize Kauai? Why is that one of our initiatives? Well, we know a lady who has one of the Habitat homes in Eleale. We talked to her. She said that she has solar and solar hot water, and her power bill is $7 a month. I think ours is it's astronomical. So basically, and you need to be aware that there are, you know, your power bill is going to be going up. It's estimated to go up as much as 40% over the next 6 to 10 years. And that's not because KIEC are unfair or dishonest. It's because they're working so hard to, get it more sustainable and to get rid of the polluting type of sources of power. But we've set up a program called Solarize Kauai. If you contact us, just go to our website and look on the first initiative, Solarize Kauai. Click on that, and there's an application there that you can, it'll come to us. You send your application in. If you have the credit and you own the home, you can probably lower the cost of your power enough to make the payments on this solar. That worked. We are in the process of doing it ourselves. Looks like we're going to lower our power bill by about $20 a month, and that's with no down if you qualify for it. And it not only is good for you and financially, but it's also good for the earth. In other words, we're not having to use and these products are guaranteed for 20 years in today's environment in Hawaii. So they're using only the far best quality. Please check it out. If you have a home, if you rent, you can probably do it also if your landlord will sign off and allow you to do that, but he would have to do the paperwork. So that is Solarize Kauai, and we are working to try to make it so that we can lower your bill and also save on the environment on Kauai. Larry, you want to do ATUs? Our second initiative is
Alternative Treatment Units. That's ATU, What We Should Do. Advance or Alternative Treatment Units for a Better, Cleaner Kauai. Those, as I was explaining, a singular ATU system is more expensive than a septic tank now. But like we want to promote as much as possible sustainability and keeping things on island, we are working with a provider who is building the ATU systems, not importing them, not plastic coming in on a shipping container from somewhere else, but actually constructing and building the ATUs here on island. Now, here's something we all know. If I build one of something, it's going to cost me a fair amount of money. If I build 10, it'll cost me less. And if I build 100, it'll cost me a lot less. There are economies of efficiency here at work. And so we're promoting ATUs, again, through our website because, one, it's better for the environment. Two, it's the right thing to do. And three, it makes sense for our community that we should all be on this kind of system because, well, guys, any of you are out there listening to us now who are surfers, you know what happens after the rain. I mean, I surf as much as possible. My friends know that about me. And, you know, sometimes I'm paddling out at one of our local beaches. I'm not going to say which one. But And it's after rain, and the people that love me are like, Larry, don't go out. It's dirty water. And I'm all like, yeah, but the waves are 6 feet, and they're perfect. How many of us experience this on the island? I know we really need to start using ATUs, all of us. There's a lot of information about it on our website. The most important thing you need to know is that every cesspool within the state of Hawaii will have to be replaced by year 2049. I think we should start now. Cesspools are terrible for the environment. And ATUs are a great way to take that that use that is harming the environment and turn it into something good. You're going to have to do it by 2049 anyway, and the sooner we do it, the better. It's advanced energy efficient technology that is easily operated and maintained without complicated or expensive equipment. The wastewater is treated and returns a non-toxic effluent to the environment within 24 hours. The system complies with the most stringent effluent criteria. It eliminates odor, pumping, and unsanitary conditions that septic tanks don't. So we want to support ATUs. We want to. So when we build a project, Jim, one of the things, and I think I want to explain this to our audience, when we build a project, we try to incorporate these aspects, these principles, and these initiatives to the greatest extent possible. But as an example, if the project that we're looking at now is directly on a sewer line, so we're not going to use an ATU for that project because we need to tie into the sewer because it's right there. We have to weigh the cost and consideration of everything else, and the ATU units right now are around $25,000, $26,000 a unit, whereas we know that a septic tank, and this depends upon the conditions and the landscape and the capacity and everything else, but just in general speak, septic tanks now to install are about $20,000. My point is, let's all get onto ATUs, Jim. Let's all get onto them so that we can lower the cost, bring it down to the cost of a septic tank. And there are some other things that we're working. We're working always. We're working behind the scenes to make that possible. We're working with engineers. We're working with standards. We're working with the county. And the county is working with us. It's on every level. The county is doing a great job. Now, Jim was talking about the project, which we will be announcing more in more detail. But, you know, in order to do our what we call due diligence, which is just making sure of what we can do and how we can do it, we've been working with the county, and they're just amazing. And they're very technological these days. We're doing all types of meetings online, and I think it's amazing. But, yes, ATUs for me and you, ATUs are the right thing to do. ATUs are what we must do. And
also, Larry, just so everybody knows, you can go through us to do that. Just go on our website, palkauai.org, pal-kauai.org, and you can you'll see the second initiative there is ATUs. You click on it, read about it. If you want to get involved in it, just click on our application there and turn it into us, and we'll be the go-between. You can borrow money to do it. There are loans available to do it if you need them. And I want to just make sure that it's very clear. If you are a developer, if you are planning to do a development on your property or work with anyone else who's doing a development, these ATUs can save you money and can turn out a much better effluent. You don't have to build pipes running for miles to get where you're going. You can put one on site, and we can put them together so that they will actually serve the entire development and do a lot better job for the environment. So be sure to stay in touch with us if you are working on a development, even whether it's affordable or not. If you're a developer, you know you've got to save money where you can, and this is one way to do it.
There's one development, Jim, where I was reading about the cost of building the pipe to access the sewer line that goes to Lydgate across so many bridges that is going to be impacted by sea level rise and tidal surges over the next 20, 50 years, and who knows what's going to happen with that. But there, I think I saw that they were anticipating spending $5 million to build those lines. They could do it. And these systems, by the way, and along with Jim was saying, they're scalable. They could serve one house. They could serve 600 houses. And this is nothing new. Right, Jim? I mean, this is being done somewhere else, isn't it?
They are being done, but we are blessed to have the people we're working with are building them on island. They're not importing plastic tanks like other people would do to do this. They're pouring them concrete on island. They have an engineer who runs the company, so they can do them. They can be the engineer and everything. And we're working very hard to bring the cost down. And we can bring the cost down the more we do, and the more developers who will work with us, the more we can lower the cost. And we're working with the state to get them accepted better to make the cost a little bit lower, too. So, Larry, you want to tell people what YGBI is? This is our next initiative is YGBI. What the world is YGBI?
I sure do. And for the listening audience out there, you're listening to PAL Kauai Radio, Permanently Affordable Living Radio on KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea. I'm Larry Graff, and I'm joined today with Jim Edmonds. Together, we are the executive director and president of the board for Permanently Affordable Living Kauai. Yes, in God's backyard, Jim, that's what YGBI is. How do you like how I segued into that? That was a little rough.
Pretty good for a beginner.
Well, yeah, this is the most fun I've had in a long time, sitting here at the radio station, socially distanced, surrounded by Lysol, which, by the way, for the listening audience, we use that topically. We do not ingest. No longer NIMBY. You know what a NIMBY is? A NIMBY is not in my backyard. Do you know what a banana is?
Please do affordable housing. Just don't do it anywhere near me.
Yeah, I want to help everybody, but yeah, don't do it next door to me or in my neighborhood. Certainly not in my backyard. And the one I love is a banana, which is build absolutely nothing anywhere near anyone or anybody. So YGBI is brought to us. It means yes in God's backyard. It is a PAL initiative. We were inspired by a donor of ours, an anonymous donor who brought this to our attention, and we rapidly adopted it, and we've been moving it forward. And trying to move it forward with looking for opportunities. So if you're listening out there and you are a faith-based institution, I'd like to talk to you directly. YGBI is a PAL initiative which we are partnering with faith-based community partners providing services and permanently affordable living Kauai. There are a lot of faith-based partners. What's a faith-based partner? It can be a church. It can be any form of religious entity, any faith-based entity. You can have land. You don't necessarily have to. You could be looking to get land to build housing. Essentially, we think that there's a lot of faith-based partners on the island, churches and so forth, that do have a lot of land. And we've been working with some of the major churches. I'm not going to name them. On this, they have a lot of land, and we want to look at it together to build the 5,000 housing units that we desperately need for our residents. We think that if we can take the cost of the land and remove it from the housing equation, we can do miracles. And if you're going to be working with churches, Jim, what a better place to do miracles, right? So,
amen. A lot of them actually have zoning that allows them to build housing.
That's right.
A lot of them don't know it, or they can't figure out the financing, and they can't figure out the construction project. So that's what we bring to the process, is to try to help them facilitate the project so that they can understand what it takes to design, develop the policy and the funding. And this is a concept that was developed on the mainland, so there is support for the work that we're doing from larger groups on the mainland. And we are just reaching out to the churches to ask them to just call us. We know we're all tied up with the coronavirus. And every time we start working with a pastor or someone who works for one of these organizations, I say, I just can't add anything else to my plate. I'm getting 300 emails a day or texts, that kind of thing. But once we tell them what we're trying to do, they realize that we're actually there trying to help them and take some of the pressure off of them, not add pressure to them. So this is something that we hope you'll hear a lot more about in the near future as we develop Yigbee, yes, in God's backyard.
Yes, and let's make some miracles together and build some housing for the people of Kauai on these church-owned properties. And that's definitely a powerful initiative and a great opportunity. You know, it's not gonna be any one solution that's gonna address this problem. It's rental housing, it's for sale housing, it's self-help housing, it's church property housing. And those are the things that we're talking about today, and those are the things that we stand for at Powell Kauai, and so much more. And so let's keep talking about so much more. Our next initiative is Ikomomai. Jim?
Does everybody know what Ikomomai means? Raise your hand.
Well, I see a lot of hands out there.
So basically, you know, that's the kind of scary part, actually, when they told us that the latest records had proven that KKCR has up to 10,000 people on the air at one time. Larry and I were sitting there looking at each other and going, wow, I'm glad we can't see them. That would make it kind of nerve-making.
You had to say that.
But
my heart's racing.
Yeah. So what is Ikomomai? I mean, everybody pretty much knows what it is. Please come into my house. We are talking about it on a little more general basis. We were talking earlier about how hard it is to develop affordable housing on this island. And we have our theories why, and we have ideas of how to change it. But we've made this presentation to Mayor Kawakami and to Mayor Bernard Carvalho before him. We've made it to most of the planning directors and members of the county council. We're really working hard to try to get this concept to go. And I have to just say to you that we've been working on this for years, and I mentioned a while ago that things are getting easier for the affordable housing developers. We think that it's partially because of the pressure that we brought to bear through this program that we've designed. Greg and I mostly designed this. Larry's had his input, Greg Crowe. But basically what we're doing is we're striving to help the county simplify the discretionary current approval process so it will enable the major affordable housing developers to come back to Kauai because they have the money and the expertise that they can do this. They can build a lot of housing quickly. So basically, if we can loosen up this process, we can bring those guys back to the island and we'll get the housing crisis solved. Now, again, I have to tell you that the county is making great strides in that direction already. I'm very impressed with the council that we have. You know, I know we tend to judge them and wish they could do more and think that we could do better. And believe me, it is not an easy process to sit down there and realize how little money they have to do everything with and then try to do it. But essentially what we're doing is we're suggesting that the county set the approval process, and instead of saying that a developer has to bring in set of plans that are perfect and show that it's going to cost, you know, this set of plans and studies and initiatives, you have to tie up a piece of land, either buy it or tie it up. You have to do all of this planning process. You spend a small fortune, and then you go in there and find out you can't do it. We need to turn that around. We need to have a simple process in which the affordable housing developers can bring in a simple idea and present it to the public, to present it to the planning people. It really probably should work through the mayor's office to give it the credibility. We have suggested that they hire a project developer, a project director to run this entire thing, to say, okay, to the planning directors, come into the island, and the affordable developers, come into the island, and we will help you in any way we can to build affordable housing. Just simplify the process. When somebody brings in a new set of plans, they are preliminary plans. They don't have to be perfect. They don't have to cost $2 million. The mayor hands them to the planning director. He signs off on them that day or the next day. They take it to building. They sign off on it immediately. When that project comes in, it becomes the highest priority of all of the department heads immediately. So, as we said, Habitat took 7 years to get the LELE project approved. We're blessed and happy to say that their Waimea project, which was just approved recently, was actually done in about 18 to 20 months. Major, major improvement, and we're so proud of the county and Habitat for pulling that together. We know of counties where if you bring in an affordable housing project, the county has to approve it within 45 days or 60 days. If they don't approve it or reject it during that time, it is automatically approved. Now, we know. We live on Kauai. We are not going to be pressuring for that kind of numbers, but we also know that there's a lot of improvement that can be made. So that is a kumulai to try to simplify the permitting process for affordable housing projects. This is our fourth initiative. And, Larry, I'm going to ask you to take off on our fifth and most important initiative. The other four initiatives were all to develop efforts to support our fifth initiative, which is to build and to help other people build as many as possible truly and perpetually affordable housing units as possible.
Truly and permanently affordable housing. That's right. That's really, that fifth initiative encompasses so much more. I think we'd like to see a Ikomomai on every door that we build. we should make doormats that have that, and we can set it up, because that's, and by the way, yeah, the county is doing, I can't say enough about the county doing an incredible job. Our main focus, we want to build things. We would like to build on the basis of the PAL principles and our initiatives that we've been talking about. And to the greatest extent possible, we would like to build with no pipes in or no pipes out. So when we say that, what are we talking about? We're talking about infrastructure. These are the things that really make housing unaffordable. We talked about a project where it was going to cost $5 million to build a lateral sewer line to take it all the way down to the Kokio Highway from where they were building it. But if you, just as an example, if you took that project and you built an ATU system, you're going to save money. No pipes in, no pipes out. You know, some of the things that we are looking at is water. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could build our own well, or if we could use water catchment? Water is always a difficult problem. So we want to approach the no pipes in, no pipes out to the greatest extent feasible. That doesn't mean we're able to do it for every project, but we're going to apply these principles wherever and whenever we can, when they make sense for the land, when they make sense for the project, for the people, and to keep it affordable as well. It lowers the cost of development, and it's also better for the environment. It allows us to develop projects that are not necessarily contiguous to infrastructure. So we can use these concepts to develop projects that are not where the pipes are. And also, to the greatest extent possible, we want walk-to-work housing. Let's get the traffic off the road, guys. I wonder how many listeners out there. By the way, this is also a call-in show. You can call us at 826-7771. If you ask us, will our projects increase traffic? All projects increase traffic, but to the greatest extent possible. We're going to build walk-to-work projects. We want to build in areas where the jobs are. We want to create opportunities for people to share vehicles. This is all part of truly and permanently affordable housing. It's not just housing. It's affordable living, guys. When it comes to power, absolutely emphasize solar. A solar power purchase agreements. A solar company can finance your solar panels for as little, and you can pay as little as 11 cents per kilowatt hour. That's Jim, I'm reading that, and that's so amazing. You know, how many people out there, you're listening to us now. I wonder what your electric bill is. 300, 200, 400? I've heard, I'm a renter, but I used to be a homeowner, not here, but my electric bills were $300 in general to run a 900-square-foot house. I can't imagine, and that was many years ago. I imagine people who own their houses can call and you can tell us exactly what you're paying, and I'm sure it's a lot of money. Even with the new bulbs and the new energy-saving things that we can buy, we've got to put solar on our projects. And we're looking at, so people ask and often ask, so are you going to do hot water or are you going to do photovoltaic? So the difference is one heats the water and then sends it to your water holding tank, right? There's a water holding tank either on top of the roof or sometimes it's not. That's a solar hot water heating. But then there's the solar panels that you see on top of roofs, and they provide electricity directly into your house and into the grid. So it's getting to the point now, and I don't know what the analysis is, but they're saying that the photovoltaic is almost becoming more efficient than the solar hot water. We support both on our projects at this time. We think that's the way to go, and we're always evaluating these things. We're looking into new technologies. PAL isn't just sitting around using things that have done the same way they've always been done. We're looking for things that are innovative, experimental, demonstration, and have been proven elsewhere. Jim, you once told me, and Jim's been here for a lot longer than I have, he said, unless it's been done on Kauai, it doesn't work. Or unless, so we want to... Even though things have been done elsewhere, we want to be able to demonstrate them on Kauai. But we want to introduce these things that have worked elsewhere so that we can show the people of Kauai that they can work here, they can lower the cost of housing, they can lower the cost of living, which is so important to us. Some of the other things that we're looking at in terms of power, biomass farming and energy, helping generate electricity, microgrid with mixed and distributed renewable energy generation. So we're looking at all of that in the area of water. Reduced demand with water conservation, low flow showers and toilets. I think we're all pretty much so used to this now. Technology that we find interesting that we're looking at, such as waterless things that don't use water. There's a variety of different things like waterless urinals and water supply options that we're going to analyze, water catchment, atmospheric water generators. That's just amazing. Water wells, reservoir and delivery systems where possible, and saline water conversion. You know, these are emerging technologies right now. We want to keep our fingers on the pulse of what will lower the cost of living, that will create sustainability, and this is all part of our ability to build truly and permanently affordable housing. Wastewater collection, once again, we talked about advanced or aerobic treatment units, alternative treatment units, ATUs, it means all the same thing. Can handle all the wastewater. Please contact us and if you have any question about the things that we're talking about today. Waste-to-energy systems are something that we've been looking at. Not only purify wastewater, but also capture energy in the process. There is a really interesting project going on at the AgPot in Kilauea. It's a demonstration project that they're doing, converting your wastewater to hydrogen and then being able to use that for generation of power. It's a demonstration project, but you know, Jim, in the future, and listening audience, in the future, we might be doing that in all our systems. It's a fascinating idea. We can be sustainable. We can build these things. Also, you know, we haven't talked much about ag-based housing, but we're definitely That's part of our principles of development. And in keeping with that, though, we'd like to reduce the reliance on food for the island within our projects. You know, every little bit helps. So we're talking about community gardens and edible landscaping. You know, if you're going to plant something, why not plant something that looks pretty that you can also eat? We need to reduce our food reliance on sources that come from outside our island. To that end, I mean, it's the Garden Island, so we should be able to grow a lot of food. And I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but our role at PAL is to make this possible in all of our projects. We want to build community gardens. We want edible landscaping. We want people to work together to reduce our reliance on outside food sources and lower our cost of living. You know, how many of you listening here will go to the market and spend $100 and walk away with 3 bags of groceries, if you're lucky? That's rough. I mean, I remember my grandfather complaining about that he was spending $10 a bag on groceries. That seems like that would be like heaven right now if I could spend $10 a bag on groceries. But that times change, and we need to change with them. So, you know, food and providing food within our projects. There's our goal on the community hemp farm. We talk about things that, you know, creating sustainability. Hemp can be used for so many things. We want to be able to look at that. And we also want to work on a food cooperative. Oh, that's nice. I've just been notified we have a caller. I'm going to, since we haven't heard from a caller in a while, I'm going to stop really quick, and I'm going to say, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi. Hi, what would you like to talk about?
I just have a couple points I'd like to bring up and actually questions.
That's great.
One is does the cost of putting in a solar system really offset your electric costs in the long run? Because from what I've been seeing and hearing from people, it is extremely costly to put in a solar system, as much as $40,000 or more for a system that can last 10 to 20 years. So does it, in the long run, are you really saving much money on your electric bill? That's my first question. And then the second one,
Hold on a second, caller. Jim wants to respond to that, and then we'll go to the second part of your question. Is that okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Jim?
Should I put my radio on to hear this, or should I listen over my phone?
Listen over your phone, because if you put the radio on, there'll be feedback.
Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead, Jim.
So, you know, it's different depending on who the person is and what their needs are and where they are and that sort of thing. But in our experience, we have a huge electric bill. And yes, it is expensive to put in the system, particularly because we're putting it in. It's guaranteed for 20 years. That means that they have full replacement value for 20 years. And they are using the Tesla batteries. And so you think about it and you go, okay, is this going to work for me? The bid on doing it, there's zero down payment, and the bid to do put it in for our house with zero down, the payment ends up being slightly below our normal rate. But you have to calculate it over a long period of time. The KIUC rates are going to go up. That is a known fact, and the projection is about 40% over the next 6 to 10 years. So you're making your payment on your power. And I think that's over, I forget, I think it's like a 5-year payment on the plan that we're setting up. So in 5 to 7 years, we will have no payment, and the KIUC rates will have gone up dramatically. The equipment is some of the best in the world, and it's guaranteed for 20 years, even in the caustic environment that we live in. So you have to analyze it yourself, but the best way to do that is just turn in an application. Let the guys come out, study your property, tell you what they suggest, tell you what it would cost, and then they can also tell you what the payments would be. So you can just analyze it for yourself. And not to mention financially, that's not the only consideration. We also are looking at what we're doing for the environment. So as you know, KIUC is working really hard to have sustainable sources for the power that they are running, but a lot of it is still burning bagasse, and, you know, some of it is still using fuel sources. So it'll not only help you, hopefully help you if once you analyze it, it certainly has helped us. But it also, you got to remember that if you live on Kauai, you expect your power to go out. I usually joke every 15 minutes or so, but, you know, our power has probably gone out 10 to 20 times this year so far, and sometimes for long periods of time. And when you're on solar, you don't even know it. So you don't even look to see if
the
engine
is on
out.
Solar and
the power goes out.
I'll say, oh, there's power outage. Like, really?
Yeah, no, I think the answer is it is Jim has direct experience with it. And, yeah, it does save you money, and it saves you quite a bit over the long run. Saves you money right away, and then as the rate increases and what you pay off your system, you'll be saving a lot. You can sign up. There's an interest form. You can sign up for an analysis, and you can do that at our website. pal-kauai.org. Please
I'm sorry, what was the website again?
P-A-L, use the hyphen, yeah. kauai.org, O-R-G. So that's
okay.
Check us out and contact you. Feel free, if you have any problems, to contact us directly. If I can give you the phone number to contact us when you, after you get off the radio, I think... the person handling the phones can give you our contact information if you want. It's also on our website, though.
Okay.
And the second part, you had a second, but it was a two-part question, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So that leads to my second part of the question, because I've taken environmental science classes and all kinds of stuff. So, okay, so now, can we say it's environmentally better or whatever to do solar, but it requires to make solar panels, etc. They're using plastics, metals, all kinds of stuff that's going into our environment. So is it, and then when the panels wear out, where are they going? So environmentally so that's a big question is, environmentally, is it really as safe and better for the environment as solar companies are claiming?
That's a carbon footprint kind of question, isn't it?
Exactly. But not only that, the panels are made out of plastics and stuff that are I'm sure involve polluting the environment and the production of them.
Well, you know, that's a great question, and one of the old trade-off questions when we talk about electric vehicles. What happens to the batteries? Is it really lowering your carbon footprint? I would say that when you compare, you also have to factor in, those are all considerations into the analysis, but you would also have to factor in the replacement of fossil fuels from the energy consumption that solar panel provides. I'm not really qualified to do that analysis. I think that's something we're going to look at and maybe provide links to on our website that I'm going to thank you so much for listening, Kaiolani, and I know that we'll be working on that as well. That's a really good point. I don't have an answer for you, but I would say that as solar panels become more efficient, and they're pretty efficient now. There have been a lot of improvements to the efficiency over the last 10 years, and even more so in the last few years. And as they are able to use less of the panels to create more of the energy, the offset from the use of fossil fuels, intuitively, I would say, creates less of a carbon footprint than if you were to just tap into the energy bid grid and pay KIUC or your electric company over a period of 40 years. What would you say, Jim?
As I understand it, you're right, Larry, and you are asking a question that is way over our pay grade. We are going by studies that we have read, and the studies that I have read indicate that, you know, not only are the, like Larry said, the materials are a lot more effective, but they also last a lot longer. So everything I read, when you do an analysis, I've always had these questions myself. When you do an analysis of an electric car, is it really in the long run more efficient by the time you build the car, operate the car for X number of years, and deal with the batteries? And all of the studies say that it is more efficient. It is more efficient for the individual homeowner to have solar than it is for a giant company to bring in a ship with gasoline or, you know, burn a bunch of waste fuel in order to try to generate the power for everybody and push it to their homes through wires. You know, you seem to be quite experienced in this field. Perhaps you'd be willing to email us on our website, pal-kauai.org, and let's get together, and maybe you could help us do a study of this. Believe me, we care, and if you're right, we will analyze that and quit promoting these. But there is one
Can you give me that website again?
That I don't think we bothered to mention, and that is that by working with us through this, those companies are also helping us, Pal Kauai, to develop housing for the local families here. So that helps a little bit for from our perspective, too. But, again, we'd be more than happy to sit down and try to analyze that and figure out exactly what we're looking at.
That website, caller, that you asked about is pal-kauai.org. P as in is permanently, A as in affordable, L as in living, pal -kauai.org.
Okay, cool.
That's great. Go ahead. You have another question?
No. That's all good. Thank you. I just wanted to bring those points up, and because there has been that area when I've had, because I discuss this with, I have friends that put in solar systems and et cetera, and it's one of the things that comes up. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a really great conversation, and I think we're going to be looking into it as a result of your call. Please feel free to contact us offline. And right now we're going to go ahead and get ready to wrap up our show. I have a question to ask Jim to kind of end with. And thank you for calling, caller.
Really. That's fine. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Aloha.
Thank you.
Jim, we have a few minutes. It's a very short time. And I think I want to ask you, you're the president, and really you and Greg Crowe founding our company, Permanently Affordable Living Kauai. I want to ask you a really important question, because I hear it when I'm out in the community. We all know this is the smallest large community in the world because of the Coconut Wireless, and we're all, if I don't know you, I know someone who knows you. Why are you doing this? Why are we doing this? Are you making a fortune off of this, or not? You know, what is Jim Edmonds or Larry Graff or any of the people, you know, the almost 100 people who are working with us on this? So what are we getting out of it, Jim? Why did you form this company, and what does it mean to have a nonprofit? Where's the money going? You making a killing, or are you serving the community? What's it about? Why don't we answer that question in the last few minutes so we can tell our listeners what we're really about?
I can answer that. Yeah, we're getting rich.
Don't say that. You're killing me. No, we're not.
We're getting rich. We're getting rich on an emotional and a spiritual and a caring plane, caring for our community. Larry is working for about half of what he's worth. He has sacrificed to be able to do this work for us. I have been working as a volunteer for 4 years. Basically, I always joke that I'm making minus $50 an hour to do this work, because I'm also helping to support the company and pay for it.
I'm blessed. I was in real estate for years. I did not realize how much a part of the problem I was by working hard to try to help people come here and buy houses who could afford houses better than we could. All the local people could. But I figured this out about 4 or 5 years ago, and I've begun to turn the ship now, and I'm working to try to solve this issue. And so now our real estate, Emerald Isle Properties, supports PALs pretty majorly. I think we guesstimate that we give 10% of our commissions into PAL, but it turns out to be quite a bit more than that, and I'm putting in probably 90% of my time into getting this nonprofit off the ground and getting housing built. And none of that makes any money for me or my family or my wife. It just enriches us on an emotional and a spiritual plane. So most of our group is volunteering. The ones who are not volunteering are making a pittance compared to what they are worth, including Kaiulani, the beautiful Kaiulani, who just called us a while ago. We have a board of directors made up of unbelievable selection of people from across the island, including three Hawaiians. Kaiulani is part Hawaiian. We have a homeless person on our board. We have an executive director of another nonprofit on our board. We have a person on our board who is a PhD in architecture and is well known in that field. We are building a very powerful team that will help to get this crisis solved. We're figuring it out as we go. We're doing research all the time to try to figure out how to bring down not only the cost of construction and housing for our local people, but also how to bring down the cost of living so that people don't have to have three jobs. Larry, tell them what that guy said to you when you first came here.
Oh, my God. When I got here, I found a place to live, and I got two jobs right off the bat. And by the way, shout out to my friends at Anahola Whalers Market. That's where I first started working on the island. I love you, I miss you, and thank you for continuing to work. I also worked, I took any job. I wasn't waiting for the perfect job. I was an executive director of another agency. When I came on to Kauai, I came to work and not to try and find the cherry pick, you know, my career. I was volunteering with Healing Horses. By the way, it's a sustaining member of KKCR. I also worked at the WIPA Foundation doing Poi on Thursdays. But I said, oh, my God, I'm working two jobs and I'm working so hard to make it here. And somebody said to me, oh, you're almost like a real Kauaian. I said, you need one more job. And so, you know, that really impressed me. By the way, when I did start with PAL Kauai, I was working two jobs full time. That's 16-hour days and also 7 days a week. I was working so hard. I did get into a car accident. As a result of the car accident, this is how it works on Kauai. I ended up being a member of the East Kauai Lions Club. Shout out to everybody staying safe over at East Kauai and all the Kauaians. All the Lions on Kauai, thank you so much for the work you do in the community. My point and your point, Jim, is we're not making a killing off of this financially. We're doing the right thing for the island. We're all working hard, and we're here. It's not about us, and it's not about enriching us. We're a nonprofit organization. We're a 501c federal nonprofit. We're a registered public charity in the state of Hawaii, and we're here for the benefit of the community. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to contact us. Go on to our website. Give us a call. We're here trying to make a difference. We'll be announcing more about our great project. Jim, you want to close it out? I think I got 1 minute to close it out.
I got one final plea, and it won't take a minute. Basically, I always say this. We haven't had many people to reach out yet, but if you have contact or if you have influence over any of our new super wealthy residents who either live here or own property here or are here part-time, please tell them to step forward and help us solve this problem. All they need to do is donate lunch money or some of their time or get some of their people to help us and they could make such a difference. So if you have contact or influence over any of those people, please either give us their contact or reach out and ask them to contact us. And give them our mission one time, final time, Larry.
Our mission is to provide truly affordable and sustainable living solutions within reach, restoring hope for the people of Kauai. And thank you so much. Jim and I are going to sign out right now. The next show is here. Thank you so much for listening to us, Kauai. Stay safe, and remember, we'll get through this together. Aloha.
Amen. Thank you so much.